Hey there, welcome to another episode of the Original Slacker Podcast presented by Round Guys Brewing Company. This episode I speak with Monica Rizzio. She is a traveling musician who will be in town on 4/15, that is a Sunday in April. Her show actually is going to be starting around 7, so doors open at 6 on that day. I spoke with Monica about many things. Monica is a really interesting person. She's got some incredible talents, but she's also someone who is a philanthropist and gives back to her community. Monica started up Vinegrass as a way to give back to kids. She actually starts them up on a ukulele. It's a really cool story. Be sure to listen to that. And you'll also hear about her 56 Martin. What an instrument. And that really serves as the foundation for some of her songwriting. Get to hear the story around that. Hey, this is another great episode presented by Round Guys Brewing Company, located in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, home to 16 crafted taps. In addition, we have full-service food, full bar, includes wine, that includes cider, that includes even sodas, so everyone in the family can come on out, bring your buddies, bring your friends, bring grandma, bring your kids. We're a pub for everyone. And then Monica's actually going to be playing at our sister location right across the street. It's called The Underground. The Underground is where we have live shows, including live music, live drag shows. We got live comedy nights, two comedy nights coming up this month. That's pretty cool. We also have, that's going to be on the 4th and the 27th. We also have yoga in there every Monday night. $15 gets you yoga plus a beer or a drink, any drink you want. And we also have two game nights. So, yeah, please pay attention to our Facebook page. That's /RGBC Underground for information, or you can check out Ticket Leap, and that'll be Round Guys Brewery under Ticket Leap, Round Guys Brewing Company. Hey, I also formed a Facebook for this very podcast called The Original Slacker, all one word. Check it out. Definitely you'll be able to see new updates and everything coming through. Sign up to our mailing list on, you can find out on any of our websites, Round Guys Brewery. Will take you to either spot, and you can find some of our mailing lists for this very show right here. And without further ado, I'm going to bump it over to the interview with Monica. I want to give you guys a heads up. We had really, really struggled with the audio on this episode. I went two takes on it. I cleaned up the best I did, and I think for the most part it's pretty decent. It's not our finest hour by any means, but you know, sometimes the net just doesn't work with you, and this was clearly a moment where it just was not going to behave, and we just got stuck with some pops at times and some blurred vocals. But otherwise, I'm really excited to have Monica Rizzio and really excited to chat with her. What a great musician, and enjoy this interview. And real fast, lastly, we got a great tune coming up by Monica at the end of this podcast. Be sure to wait till the end. Going to load it up with one phenomenal tune by Monica. I hope you guys love it. All right, today I have with me Monica Rizzio. Monica, how's life?
Life is good, you know. It's been a crazy winter up here on Cape Cod, so we're just trying to survive.
Yeah, you guys got another nor'easter the other day, didn't you?
We got four. Yeah, four in March. It's been actually pretty good for songwriting, I'll tell you that. But yeah,
well, ready for spring. Yeah, no doubt. I think the trick is to have the snow in January and February and have March, you know, look a little nicer so you can get out there and start getting things warmed up.
I know.
Hey, so we're excited to have you. I know you're going to be playing a show coming up on the 15th, and I don't think many of our listeners know much about you. So you tell me a little bit about your past. Tell me a little bit about, I guess, where you started. I know that you didn't really get into music until you're, well, you didn't get into playing at least guitar until your 20s, correct?
That's correct. Yep.
Yeah, why don't you tell me a little bit about the story?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I was living down in Nashville attending attending Belmont University. And, you know, while I was down there, I just really got the bug for, you know, songwriting. And at the time, I was just a vocalist and I played a little bit of piano here and there. But, you know, I picked up the guitar and started doing some songwriting with a guy. And, you know, later on, we developed a band called Tripping Lily for about 10 years, and we traveled. And I left that band in 2012 to start my own solo, career, and just kind of wanted to get back to, Tripping Lily was very like acoustic folk pop, and I'm a Texas girl. I grew up, in the country riding horses, and I just kind of wanted to get back to my roots, the music that I grew up listening to, like Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard and Patsy Cline and all those.
And you call yourself a Wash Ashore. Now, that's down here in Pennsylvania, we don't necessarily know what that means. What is that?
At the time I had a little bit of twang on with my accent and whatnot, and they said, they say we call you out of towners Wash Ashores. Anybody who wasn't born on the Cape is a Wash Ashore, and so they kind of coined me as a Wash Ashore cowgirl.
Excellent. So. Okay, moving on. So, getting into your music, you're trying to bring back, you're trying to play some of the music that you grew up with, some of the music you love. So, how did you, I guess, really focus in on that? When you picked up the guitar when you're in your 20s, I know you sang a lot, you already had a musical background, so it wasn't totally obtuse to you. But, so how'd you go down that path? What happened there?
Well, I think it was incredible life at the time. I had fallen out of love with someone that I had been, dating for a very, very long time. Found someone new, married. Life just changed so much that I think it kind of, brought perspective, kind of who am I now and who was I then, and this whole kind of like, toggling back and forth. And I think that was about the time that I just really started listening to, that music that kind of made me fall in love with music in the very beginning,
Right.
if that makes sense.
No, it totally does. So tell me about your 56 Marm. Where'd you find that guy?
My gosh. So there's a festival up here in it's called Massapoka, is the it's kind of like in Western Massachusetts, and I was attending this fresh grass festival, and had been looking for a small body guitar for a long time. At the time, I had had a 1937 Bazoo. It's like a KG11. It wasn't a big guitar, but the neck was really big, and the bout of the instrument was really big, and it just wasn't comfortable. It was going to hurt my fingers, and I just wanted like a very small bodied guitar, but I didn't want to buy a new guitar. I'm not really into new guitars. I really love the vintage instruments. I feel like there's so much character in them. And
Yeah, I mean that's a beautiful guitar, and that's not something you can come by, right? I mean that's
it actually, I was blown away because they had this really cool vendor at the festival, and this guy had made guitars, his own guitars, and they were beautiful, but he had this old Martin just like propped up on this stand, and I was like, can I take a look at that? And so I grabbed it, and the minute really incredible. I knew right then, and I said I want to buy it again. And so yes, I brought it home, and instantly I started writing all these songs up. It's just incredible. And the crazy part is that when I was leaving the festival, my girlfriend and I had stopped at a coffee shop on the way out, and I heard the barista in the back saying, hey, do you remember that old Martin guitar that Mrs. I don't know what her name was, had under her bed? And the girl's like, yeah, I remember that. And they said, that guitar luthier sold it this weekend to some girl. And I was like, that's me. So it was really cool. Like, I don't know if this is like her husband, if that was her husband's guitar and he passed. And then, but it's that like common story you hear, from like when you visit a music shop and they're like, yeah, this was under some lady's bed for like 25 years. So
That's
I
phenomenal.
don't
So what kind of sound does that guy make?
I would say that the guitar has like an incredible, round, warm, woody sound.
And how's that play into your sound, your music?
Oh, it's everything that it's everything that I've searched for in terms of sound. And I feel like it just really, really honestly just captivates, my like songwriting and my sound, and it's wonderful. And I got to tell you, I actually picked up another guitar in September when I was down in Nashville. I got a
Does the Martin know this?
the Martin knows it, and it's been kind of the Martin's kind of taken a little bit of a backseat. My guitar player who tours with me has been using my Martin, but I bought a beautiful 1937 Gibson L00
Man, I'm gonna go to your
that
shows just to see these guitars.
I mean just incredible. But you know, it's been incredible because I've been playing the Gibson so much lately, but last week I picked up the Martin again and I just wrote two new songs. So I feel like this Martin may be like my writing instrument, you know? There's something in there. There's something about these old guitars that I feel that they have so many stories in them that, you know, when you start to play, I feel like it just kind of it comes out, you know? Or it does for me. I don't know.
No, I think it's it kind of aids in the sound. Your sound is a very vintage sound, and I think that when you have a authentic, warm, musical instrument, that really is, well, that's kind of what's creating it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I noticed you're, when I was going through some of your tracks and everything, I noticed you're just very meticulous in how you present the lyrics and the package of the song and the tunes. What drives you to, I guess, be so compact and be so tight with your music?
Well, you know, I think I just you know, I do put a good amount of time into my writing, and you know, I just kind of feel like the lyrics have to match up to the melody, obviously, you know, but I don't know, I draw from so much stuff. I draw from, like,
Do
you
you
know, what's
go?
happening in my life, what's going around me, or
Do you go through many revisions on these songs? How's that process work when you're developing a song? How long does it usually take to when you have the initial idea, you're like, all right, so I got some great ideas here. I'm starting to work on this. I really like where this is going. Maybe not now, maybe I'll table it. How's that usually work?
well, you know, some songs just come out. You know, they take a few minutes, right, and they're done. And normally I'll play them out, and if there's any part of lyrics that are kind of, you know, making me uncomfortable, or I just feel like I could do better, then I'll bring it back to the drawing board and try to revise it.
Have you ever had any tunes that you had to do a wholesale revision on? You're like, all right, I think I got locked up, I think I got knocked down, but I'm gonna totally just change the mood of this tune right here.
Yeah, there was a song on my album called Long Lost Friend that kind of got revised quite a bit. I don't know if that was because the song was very, I don't know, it was very vulnerable, you know, especially like to me, it was, I mean, it's very like autobiographical in the sense that it's a song kind of, you know, definitely is a little bit more relative to what you're going through, or it's, you know, I guess if you break it down about you, or you know, between you and someone else, it, that tends to be revised quite a bit. But if it's something that I'm, you know, just kind of creating a story of, you know, a fictitious, you know, event, or a fictitious, you know, happening between two people, then I think it's a little different for me.
So yeah, when it's deeply personal, you want to kind of, I guess, present it in a the most, I'm trying to find the right phrasing on that, right? But I think, I guess you have more skin in the game with that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're more on the line.
So lastly, I want to just give you a little bit chance to talk about Vinegrass. I know Vinegrass is really
Yeah.
important to you. What is Vinegrass? I don't think we've had anyone come through to date. I mean, we've only been open since last April. But this is, I think this is something pretty cool. So why don't you tell me a little bit about Vinegrass?
Yeah, so Vinegrass, I started Vinegrass back in December of 2013, and it was just, you know, it was something that I'd wanted to do for a long time. You know, I grew up in Texas, and I grew up in a family who didn't have the financial means to provide any sort of instruction. You know, I didn't get to take music lessons growing up, but I was, you know, very lucky to be in, you know, a Texas school where. So I really got a foundation in music through being, you know, in the band in elementary and middle school and high school and whatnot. But, you know, there was times where, you know, there was a lot of really cool music camps. I remember there was one I went to in Arkadelphia, Arkansas. And, you know, someone in the camp checked and said, I think you should go. I think, you know, this will be good for you. And it was moments like that that I think changed my life. And people in the community who bought me a piano or any tickets to see shows because we didn't have any. And so I kind of made a vow to myself that, you know, I'm able, when I'm at a point in my life where I can give back, you know, I really, something that I really want to do. So that's how Vinegrass was started. And basically got a scholarship every year to a senior that's going to be studying some sort of, you know, music in school, whether it's music education or performance. Ideally, we would love it to be in the like Americana roots, you know, genre, but that doesn't happen every day. So, you know, we're just very encouraging to those that have a love for it and need the money to go to school and study. So we do that, and we do like a 4-year sustainable scholarship. So we give them 4 years of the scholarship. But something that's been pretty cool, we just got a phenomenal grant from the Davenport Foundation here on Cape Cod. We outfitted 60 ukuleles for this elementary school called Emmy Small. And basically what we're doing, you know, a lot of these, like a lot of American schools will start kids with the recorder. And I'm not like, you know, the recorder is very cool. But, you know, I remember touring in Canada with Trippin' Lily, and the Canadians, they start on the ukulele. And if you've ever, you know, seen any Canadian bands, their musicianship is just off the charts. They're just phenomenal musicians. And, you know, I kind of got this idea. My husband and I were kind of mulling over, and we decided to bring a classroom that was started by James Hill. That, and you know, we buy instruments for families who don't have the money, and we help do you know, scholarships for music lessons for different, you know, I own a music school on the Cape called West Bend Musical. We do it for, you know, students who study at, you know, the conservatory or different music schools on the Cape. But pretty cool thing. It feels incredible to give back. And you know, every fall we throw this boutique-y kind of Americana festival at a vineyard on Cape Cod, at a wine vineyard. And we have about 5 bands. We're going to be having our big festival September 30th this year. And
what's the festival name?
It's a Vinegrass Music Festival.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it's great. And you know, we try to raise as much money as we can. And
yeah, that sounds, so I mean, that sounds like a phenomenal cool organization you guys are doing. Great work for the community. Great work for up and coming, you know, budding artists. That's great for our kids. You know, I love it. How was it getting it started? Did you have any difficulties? What process did you guys, I guess, how'd that work out when you guys got things started with Vinegrass?
Yeah, well, you know, the whole like getting your 501c3 is kind of like a kind of an arduous event, but we had help from an arts foundation that let us use their umbrella for a year until ours came through. But you know, I got to tell you, like, my husband does so much of the footwork in the organization. He does all the booking of the bands, and he puts together a lot of the programs and whatnot. But honestly, like, I think for us, you know, we're just it's hard to run a nonprofit when it's just you and your husband. But we've had some really great, you know, friends and volunteers in the community that have stepped up to help. You know, it takes a, as they say, it takes a village, right?
Yeah, definitely. And running a nonprofit is a full plus time job.
Oh my gosh. It's incredible. But you know, it's cool. It's we're having Mary Gaucher in April. We've got this really cool Irish pub that we do all of our concerts. We do like monthly concerts. I'd say we do maybe like 6 or 7 a year at this cool pub. And, so it's an incredible like chance for an artist to, I mean, who wouldn't want to play on Cape Cod?
Yeah. You know? Right. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. And we bring that to the community. So, you know, the pub's making money with dinners, and the artist is making, you know, they're doing really well while they're touring, and we take care of them. And, you know, the most wonderful part is that we get to offer this to our community and to our kids, you know?
Yeah, I think that's so cool. Now, this is only in Eastern Mass?
This is only on Cape Cod, yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, excellent. Monica, where can people find out more about your music, what you're where to find you, I guess, on social media?
Yeah, Monica Rizzio on Facebook and at Instagram and Twitter.
And that's Monica, Rizzio.
Correct. Yep. That is how you can find, that's my handler, right? Is that what they call it?
Yep,
I
the handle.
Right? Yeah, that's it.
Hey, that about wraps up the interview with Monica Rizzio. We have part two coming up, the question section. That's going to be a Monica Rizzio A podcast, Monica Rizzio A. That's the one immediately following this one. Hey, we got Wash Ashore Cowgirl coming up. That is a Monica Rizzio tune. And thank you again for checking us out, checking out the Original Slacker podcast, checking out Round Guys Brewing Company. We really appreciate it. We're doing this to really serve you guys and make sure everyone's having a good time. And you know, that's really what craft beer culture is all about, right? It's all about us having shared experiences and shared fun. That's why we're here. So enjoy, guys, and look forward to seeing you guys at one of the shows. Thanks again.
This girl with a little bit of howdy. Wear my boots and my denim shirt proudly. Got a little twang on the tip of my tongue. I'm gonna dance this line and stay real young. Living up here in the Northeast country. Seeing in my boots, no sign of the Lord. How the hell this cowgirl wash ashore? Daddy used to drive all the way to Grand Saline. Sometimes he did it 5 days a week. Fill up the Chevy on beers and gasoline. She make him that Frito pie. Cause I'm just a Texas girl with a little bit of heart. Wear my boots and my denim shirt proud. Got a little twang on the tip of my tongue. I'm gonna dance this line and stay real young. Living up here in the Northeast country. Seen in my boots, no sign of the Lord. How the hell does cowgirl wash ashore? I'm gonna dance this line and stay real young. Living up here in the Northeast country. Seen in my boots, no sign of the Lord. How the hell this cowgirl wash ashore? Boots in my denim shirt proudly. Got a little twang on the tip of my tongue. I'm gonna dance.